Good morning. Different show today. Jim Costa with Jeff Rieger, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. As we settle in on a Tuesday, a back-to-school Tuesday. Happy first day.
For some.
For my kids.
Oh, happy back-to-school.
Yeah. They're pumped. Well, Brooks has no idea. He doesn't understand. But Emily went to bed, and the last thing she said was, "I'm so excited for school." So, I'm pumped. She's excited. I'm glad.
Is that how
I hope it doesn't. I hope she always loves school.
Oh, please.
I mean, I know when you get older, you're not pumped to wake up early and go through the whole... But for, like, all of elementary school, you should be excited.
The first week, usually. Like, Olive told me the other day, she's like, "Daddy, I'm excited for the first week." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "I have a whole week's worth of clothes, and I get to meet my new friends, and we don't do anything for the first week." I'm like, "What about the second week?" She's like, "Yeah, I don't want to go." So, that's what you have to look forward to.
I hope not. I hope she always loves school. And Brooks, too.
So what's the routine with Colin getting them ready?
It's so funny because, I mean, for years to come, he's going to be the one getting them ready for school, which I'm bummed about. I'm bummed that I don't get to see them off. I'm bummed I don't get to, like, get them ready and do their hair, at least Emily's hair. So that was one of our big things we talked about, was how is he going to do her hair? He's got two things he can do. Brush it and just wear it down, or one ponytail. But he can't do, like, a half ponytail or a braid or...
Jeff, as a father of a daughter, is that acceptable?
Yeah, I had my wife do it.
Oh, okay.
No.
Are you capable, though?
No, I'm not. I can do one ponytail.
Yeah, that's what you can do.
Or I can do the double with it coming out of the side of the head.
How are you with the part, though?
I'm awful.
See, I'm awful.
I try to stay away from all of it.
He could do that, too, but he can't, like, make a straight part if he was going to do, like, pigtails.
He could scar this poor girl going to school.
See, I don't think so. They're too young.
Oh, okay. So yeah. What age would you be scarring your child going,
like,
to school?
I don't know, 7, 8, right? Like, the kids of your children's age, they're not judging. They're not going to bully. She
doesn't care, but I do. I probably care more than she does. So, I want her to look put together and look nice going into the school, at least.
When my daughter was in preschool, I used to just take her to school. I didn't brush her hair or anything like that. And, my wife always found out about it from the teachers. So it's a big deal. You have to take care of the kids.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Are you trying to break some news? You have to take care of your children?
No, but I didn't think it was a big deal. Like, Olive, let's just go. I got a tea
Jeff's
time.
Like, they're breathing. What more do you need?
You ate eggs. You ate a healthy breakfast. I mean, so what?
Hydrated.
Your hair's not brushed.
There you go.
But I understand now.
So yes. Were you someone who dreaded the start of school, or were you excited?
When I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
Oh God, I hated it.
You did?
You know, I was an awful student. I couldn't wait for it to be over. What about you?
To go see your friends. I was excited. It fades very quickly, to Olive's point, the expert on the matter.
Yeah, exactly.
But you are excited when you first go back.
Right.
You got,
like,
your new routine, your schedule.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you realize, oh crap, there's
work.
Like 192 days left of this.
Yeah, but then you get to, like, try out for sports. I love school. I loved all of school.
Oh, my God.
There's things about school I didn't like. Like, I didn't like studying for tests
homework.
And doing all the work, right? But
yeah.
I did like the social aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I like gym class. And I like snow days.
And
that was
recess.
Pretty much the extent,
like, lunchtime.
Of it. Yeah. I mean, that was really it.
So I dreaded it.
Of course.
But I love school. I like school, actually.
Yeah.
But that first day, that night before, Labor Day night, I was so depressed. Because we just played outside all summer.
I know.
Baseball, football outside, you know, and it's just like, this is all coming to an end. And then after that, it was okay. But that Labor Day
night,
like 6 o'clock, I just remembered, no.
Well, some of it too, like in high school, I was playing high school football. So you're kind of already in your routine a couple weeks out because practice starts in August. So you're just like, all right, this is just going to be another thing on the plate at that point. But when you're younger, you don't even have that. You're just excited to get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
This is depressing.
I don't think any kid's excited. I'm just saying.
Parents,
maybe it's just
there,
my
you,
kid.
Parents got to be excited, right? You don't have to
take care
of them anymore.
Parents
are
thrilled.
Oh, my God. It's the greatest. Look at Greg. Everybody's thrilled.
Yes.
Oh, it's the best. It's so great. You get your me time back during the day. You get to see the kids at night. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Greg, you sent, I think, a tweet out yesterday. It was like, parents, we made it.
Yeah, we're back. It's big.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the summer's tough. Because you got to find stuff for them to do the entire summer. Then they go back to school. It's beautiful.
Yeah, well, about August 15th, everything's been done. And you're kind of just sitting there and you're like, what are we going to do?
And they want to watch
annoying.
The phone.
You have these cat problems?
Back to school for the cat? No. But it is funny, Rieger, you're talking about things to do with your kid.
Yeah.
Later in the show, you are going to call out bad parents.
Oh, yeah. I'm an expert. I'm not one of them. But I think
you've observed them.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might be one, despite you not being a parent.
I don't even have kids, and somehow
I'm
a bad parent.
Are you just predicting his future?
Well, I kind of understand.
If you do have kids, you'll be an awful parent.
I think Tom disagrees with me, too, and you two agree with each other. I think that's bad parenting.
And I think Heather's going to be on our side. I think you're going to be on an island later in the show.
No, Heather definitely will not be on your side.
We'll see.
We will see.
I will bet you.
Don't do this. You get in trouble betting stuff. There's a long storied history with you and making bets and having to pay them off.
Yeah, sometimes you'll win them, though.
Do you win them?
Every now and then. Okay.
Tigers last night. That's the other thing I want to start the show with.
Not so much.
Not so much. What do you make of it?
So it's weird, right? Tigers lose 8-3 yesterday. They get a 3-0 lead for Tarek Skubal, and he coughs it up. But you look at his stat line, and he struck out 12. He didn't walk anybody. He went damn near 7 innings, and he only gave up one earned run. He gave up a grand slam, so he gave up 6 total. Mm-hmm. But Zach McKinstry had 2 fielding errors, or throwing errors, rather. One of the 5th and one of the 7th. So he gave up 6. Only one's charged to him. His ERA goes down, but he has only one win in his last 9 starts. Think
about
that.
Which goes back how far? That goes back to what, like June?
Yes. Like July.
Early July then, yeah.
Yeah, think about that. Like Tarek Skubal, everybody's always like, you got to win Skubal starts. And they've won some of those games. Yes. Just he's not picking up the W. But for some reason or another, he's fine. He's still probably going to win the Cy Young. But he's not getting victories, which is just weird.
Well, you brought up pre-show, this Crochet, the odds are very close. Skubal is still the favorite to win the Cy Young, but Crochet's like plus 125.
Yeah.
He's right there with them. And you and I were forecasting, who knows what's going to happen. The last series of the year, the Red Sox play the Detroit Tigers.
Right.
And we could see whether it's head-to-head, that'd be an incredible theater. But both pitching in that series, very likely, maybe the Cy Young's on the line in the last series of the season.
No question. I mean, listen,
the way we talk about Skubal, I may be breaking news to people, but Crochet is nipping at his heels.
Well, I heard you ask Trammell yesterday, is Skubal the MVP? And I'm like, interesting. I never thought about that. And you think about the big dumper, you think about Aaron Judge. And like, you're right. Tarek Skubal is super valuable to his team, obviously. He's their one legitimate ace.
He's a 6 war player on the best team in baseball.
It's gone down a little bit since yesterday.
5.8. Look at this guy nitpicking me. Fine.
But if you look at him versus Garrett Crochet, it is way tighter than anybody wants to talk about in Detroit. Like the ERA, very close to each other. Strikeouts, very close to each other. WAR is 0.2 away from each other. So I agree with you. I think down the stretch, Boston might need that series more than Detroit because Detroit should have already clinched. Like it could be a Crochet-Skubal matchup for the Cy Young. And I know it's a big deal to win back-to-back Cy Youngs.
What was the moment with Skubal last night in the lights?
So in the 3rd inning, Skubal gets squeezed by another god-awful umpire.
Can we get the robo umpire?
Oh, my God. This umpiring is so bad. It goes bad both ways. But he gets squeezed, and then he's pissed about it.
Yeah.
He starts jawing with the umpire. AJ has to come out and calm Skubal down. Skubal's fine. AJ's fine. The umpire, to his credit, allowed the conversation to take place. Skubal then strikes out Langoliers.
Yeah.
Who's the dude that hit the grand slam?
Yeah.
Yes. But before in that bat, it looked like he went yard. So he hits a ball to left field. It goes left of the foul pole in Oakland, Sacramento, wherever the hell
Sacramento,
they play, that little minor league ballpark. They think it's gone. So they turn on the lights, like the home run celebration. Skubal gets pissed and starts muttering to himself and pointing to the lights. Then they turn him off. He strikes him out. And then the Tigers, when Gleyber Torres hits a homer, goes on Twitter and say, turn the lights on. So they're mocking the whole situation. Then it turns out in the 7th inning, he gives up a grand slam to the guy
Langoliers
that he struck out earlier. Didn't work out so great.
Now, that is a little rinky-dink ballpark out there.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to watch, though. A little bit, right?
So I heard Benetti reference, they don't do ballpark data for it because it's like a temporary home.
Yes.
But the implication is everybody hits home runs at this ballpark.
Yes, it's Coors Field and this ballpark, number 1 and 2 for offensive scoring. So it was a tough loss yesterday. It's a bad loss, but with that being said, what are you going to do?
And the Royals lost. So they're still up 10.5.
You're not watching that anymore, are you?
No, I'm not scoreboard watching, but I was curious just to see, is it under 10 now? Because I know, Jeff, if this gets within 6 or 7, the audience is going to, you jinxed them. Guys, they're going to win the division. Say it with your chest. Believe in your baseball team.
I will tell you this. A little bit of bad news. The Blue Jays won, though.
Right.
So that means it's only a half game separator between the Tigers and Blue Jays for best record in the AL.
Either way, you get the bye.
Correct. 1-2. As long as another team doesn't come up and catch you.
And they have the tiebreaker with Houston.
Yes.
So, no, all in all, like...
Not Seattle, though.
Not Seattle.
So if Seattle were to overtake Houston, they're like a game out.
Yeah.
And if they were to catch Detroit or even tie Detroit, then Detroit would be three if right. Toronto surpasses them too.
Yeah. If Seattle was buoyed by a big bat that maybe they added at the deadline, if he were to heat up or something, that would...
He's been better of late.
Certainly make an impact. Anyway, 248-539-9797. I said it'd be a different kind of Tuesday. We are bringing back Greg Palm. It is the kickoff. It is week one of the college football season. The top 12 teams in the sport from the brain of Greg Hargrave. We'll do it every Tuesday throughout the college football season. You have the cuts from the Lions expected to be finalized today by 4 p.m. Hendon Hooker, he gone. That's a top 70 pick for Brad Holmes. Is it his biggest mistake, and is it something you are going to hold against him? We've got the two Grand Slam at 7:25, a chance to win $2,000. It's 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game, right? Well, listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right, $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds, rankings based on RootMetrics Root Score Report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
That's the moment you were talking about, Rieger. Langelier's getting his moment at the end of that game.
Yeah, by the way, there's a picture on social media. You should go in search of it if you want. It's Langelier hitting the grand slam and Scooble immediately knowing it's gone. And he's just turning and in pain. But he couldn't be in that much pain considering he only got one earned run charged to him.
Very weird line. He struck out 12?
12. Gave up six runs, but only one earned.
And the stat from you, he hasn't won. He's won one start.
One start in his last nine.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy. I mean, they've won some of those games. But. Yeah.
Where are you at with the Tigers, by the way? Because John and I have done this whole thing where like we think they're going to win the division. You know, I have my whole declaration and everything. But postseason-wise, I think that's the great unknown.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth. I'm what AJ hates. I ride the roller coaster of the season. So like right now, their bullpen looks pretty damn good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you have to throw Finnegan and Vest back-to-back...
You love it.
And Tyler Holton is your lefty high-leverage dude, like, I have faith in that. A little bit. But then again, you see other, like, days like you saw yesterday, and you see the day before, and that bullpen looks awful, and you're like, oh, man, they're going to be an early knockout.
Well, it's about that mushy middle, right? If you get the postseason and your starter can only go 4 or 5 because you don't want him seeing the lineup the third time over... It's the bridge to Finnegan and Vest. And that's where ultimately we'll find out was Scott's gamble. You know, he wanted to keep his prospects and kind of do this on reclamation projects and trusting their process. If he's right, they'll bridge the sixth and the seventh inning. And he'll get obviously credit for Finnegan.
Oh, a ton of credit, yes.
But if they have an issue where Flaherty, yo-yo, good start, bad start, has a bad start. Mize, who he battles, he's a warrior, but he's far from an ace at this point. And you have to bridge those innings and you're looking around going, where is it? If they get in a big postseason situation where the bats go cold and you're looking around going, where's that extra bat we didn't add? That's the gamble. And look, they could do it without making those moves.
Yeah, but what's the expectation? What do they have to do so idiots like us can't go back at Scott Harris if they get knocked out in the postseason? Like, honestly, if they don't have to play in a wild card, cool.
Yeah.
You got to win the ALDS.
Yes.
You got to get to the ALCS. And I would say in this weak American League, you got to win the ALCS. Like, you got to get to the World Series.
If they lose the only 7-game series they play, having been the best team in the American League all year, I think it would be fair to look back and say,
yes, you didn't do enough.
Could they have done more and should they have done more? If they're in the World Series and they lose to the Dodgers or the Phillies, I mean, there's an argument it wouldn't have mattered.
I heard you ask Tram yesterday. You're like, Tram, you asked it really well, Tobit, about like, who's the Tiger second starter at a playoff game? And it's such a great question because who is the Tiger second starter? Is it going to be Uncle Charlie? Yeah. Is it going to be Casey Mize? I would not think it's going to be Jack Flaherty. I mean, it's not going to be Chris Paddock.
And he said Morton, right?
Yeah.
Which I think today it is Morton. And he'll pitch today. And if he struggles, then it won't be him.
It's going to be somebody else.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. It is a back-to-school week. Yesterday for some, today for some. Next week for Olive, correct?
Yes, Tuesday.
Okay. Tuesday.
Tuesday, my tea time is on Wednesday, 9:30.
A great time of year for parents.
Oh, it's amazing.
By the way, that's how it should be. Post-Labor Day, that's when school should start. Yes. Not this like weird like half week, 4 day week.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like that's how it should be. Good day for parents.
Oh.
Yes.
Sure.
That's how it should be.
That's your relief. Yes. You get through the summer and there you go.
It's hard to get through the summer.
Just in time for football season.
Exhausting.
Greg Palm coming up at 6:35. Hendon Hooker cut. Are you holding it against Brad Holmes? We are going to talk about the Lions later in the show. Has the pessimism gone too far? Hear what Dan Campbell says about his roster, and we've got the two grand slam. But first, Heather with the news.
Well, the man who killed his ex-wife at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit has been arraigned, and a second person has also been charged. So Mario Green has been charged with first-degree premeditated murder, as well as, you know, discharge of a firearm in a building causing death, aggravated stalking, and several other things as well. Now, there's another man who has also been charged with accessory after the fact and lying to a police officer. So he was apparently there to help Green flee the scene afterward. So that's some new information we didn't have. During the arraignment on Monday, Green stood completely quiet. A plea of not guilty was entered by the court on his behalf. Here's an interesting story. A female wrestler is suing Okemos Public Schools and her coach for negligence and unsafe practices after she was severely injured during a practice. So the injury took place back in December of 2024 when she, this girl who weighs only 90 pounds, right? A small girl, was paired against a much larger boy for practice and was body slammed 3 times.
Oh my.
And the lawsuit is seeking a jury trial, monetary relief for damages that include medical expenses, procedures. It's a pretty crazy story. They also say the girl was not provided medical treatment at the school. She did go see a school trainer, but that was about it, because after she was body slammed the 3rd time, she started vomiting. She said she was experiencing breathing problems. Like, it was clear she was in distress, according to this lawsuit.
Yeah.
So it sounds like her mom said, you know what, that's not enough. I'm taking her right to the hospital. And they found that she had serious injuries, including a liver laceration. She had to be transferred to a pediatric intensive care unit. So anyway, I understand where her lawsuit is coming from.
It's awful. When I first saw the headline, I thought, oh, well, she's kind of signing up if she's going to wrestle with boys. But then you read the details and you go, this is ridiculous. Well, how did they allow that to happen?
On that particular day, the wrestler she typically faces weren't there. So yeah. The coach was like, oh, that's all right. Here's, Bobby, who's
What's
like 10 times
difference?
Your size. I don't know how much this boy weighed. I just know that she was 90 pounds. She was in the featherweight. You know, like,
sure.
He was much
what
bigger,
kind
significantly
of boy
larger.
Is that? The body slam a 90-pound girl 3 times. Come
yep,
on.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
An Ypsilanti driving school has been suspended and banned from providing classes after the state discovered numerous violations. So an investigation discovered that this school, Coach Richmond's driving school, failed to use the prescribed curriculum, did not maintain student records, exceeded the fire marshal's class capacity, and then was also having students drive in uninsured vehicles. So that's bad. So the suspension is indefinite, pending, obviously, investigation.
Of course.
So
funny story, my driving school is no longer around either because they gave me a license. Yeah, they suspended them.
Yeah.
They screwed up there.
The popular Slow's Barbecue will be opening a new location in Ann Arbor this fall. Very, very soon. It was announced on social media on Monday that Ann Arbor will be home to the 3rd Metro Detroit location, open this fall, like I said. It's going to be located in the former Blue Tractor Barbecue and Brewing location on East Washington Street. And it's going to be a full restaurant, full service, sit-down restaurant, also obviously carry out, delivery, catering available as well.
Cool.
New place to go.
Yeah,
Slow's,
yeah.
So. Yeah. I feel like we should all be a little bit offended by this next story. So obviously Labor Day right around the corner.
Yep.
And an annual study for Labor Day has found the hardest working states and the least hardest working states in all of America.
What are you going to say? We're lazy?
And they looked at things like employment rates, hours worked, average commute, how much free time people have in general. And Michigan, dead last.
Wait a second.
Dead
Hold on.
Last.
We're blue collar. We put the world on wheels and we're dead last.
Yeah, no kidding. Right? Are you offended by this?
I
was a little offended
by this
because I was like, I saw this article and my eyes didn't even go to that. Like, because why would we be in the least hardworking?
You should be offended. You worked last night and now you're already up this morning.
I know.
You're
the hardest working guy in radio.
You guys get up so early. Uh-huh. I mean, they should know about you guys.
Seriously.
But all our factory workers and...
I mean, that's a good point.
Then I go home and work hard at home, too. So gosh darn it.
They're just calling us lazy as a state.
Yes.
Why?
So the 10 hardest working states.
What are they?
North Dakota.
Oh, please.
Okay, fine.
They got nothing else to do but work.
Alaska. Yeah.
They're working the field.
Again, same
deal. South Dakota.
Oh,
Texas,
the Dakotas
Hawaii,
work their asses off.
Virginia, New Hampshire, Wyoming, Maryland, and Nebraska. Michigan, dead last.
Okay, so none of those places, for the most part, have pro sports. So they got nothing else to do but work.
Work the day away.
Who wants to work all their lives?
Apparently,
I'm actually kind
no
of
how you're spinning this. You know what?
Yeah.
That's the spin on this.
Yes,
These people enjoy
our lives more.
They're breaking their backs.
Right. And we're just, here we are, the laziest state. But you know what? We enjoy the hell out of ourselves. We drink
more,
we golf more, and there we watch more sports.
There you go.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't be so offended.
No.
Lazy's patting not myself a bad in the thing. Back.
That's right.
Good job.
Lazy's not a bad thing if you can get away with it.
Okay.
You said that very confidently.
That's appropriate use of effort, Rieger. Not laziness.
That's a good point.
All right, Heather with the news. Coming up next, Greg Palm, top 12 teams in college football. Week one is here. It's 97-1. All right, guys, it's also football season for the Detroit Lions. It's time to roar louder than ever. The 2025 season is kicking off, and the ultimate way to celebrate is with 1800 Tequila. The world's most awarded tequila is back as the official tequila of our Detroit Lions. From pregame tailgates to postgame celebrations, 1800 Tequila brings smooth, bold flavor to every moment. Sip it in a sideline margarita or enjoy it straight. Either way, you're raising a glass to a championship season. Make 1800 Tequila part of your game day lineup all season long. Victory never tasted so good. 1800 Tequila, official tequila of the Detroit Lions. Please drink responsibly. It's back in time for week one. Set the tone, Greg. Lay it out.
Let's start with a trivia question. Do you guys remember, and Jim obviously more than Jeff, when we adopted Greg Palm's current methodology last year?
I don't know, right around the time the playoff came out? November?
Yeah, November 12th, week 12th. So that was pretty late in the season. This year, we have a true full season of Greg Palm right from the jump. The board is set, the matrix is all right. The teams are in their places. Did want to mention we have two new friends making the jump to FBS in 2025. Delaware and Missouri State, both in Conference USA. Brings our total up to 136.
I don't think we're going to hear Delaware or Missouri State again for Greg Palm. But welcome.
I'm just curious, how did he do last year? If you adopted it late, did you nail all top 12 teams?
No. His goal is to not predict the 12 teams.
Oh.
His goal is to give an unbiased ranking.
Oh, I got you.
Okay.
It was more opinion-based until November.
Yes.
Understood.
But now we're going with data. Greg, lay it out to kick off the season.
Actually, before we get to the rankings, I do have a little surprise for you.
Oh, no. It's the Greg Palm Game of the Week.
Now, admittedly, I'm going to cheat here because I said I want this to involve at least one top 12 team. We don't have a top 12 team involved. That's because I've been looking forward to this game since I knew it was on the schedule three summers ago. And for this game, let's give you a little history lesson and go back to the magical year of 1990.
I thought Sony wasn't on the show anymore.
An absolutely nutso year in college football. Colorado and Georgia Tech split the national title.
Yes.
After Georgia Tech wins the coaches poll by 1 point. They are playing this week. It is the Friday night primetime game on ESPN. And not only have they not played since 1990, this is the first time they will have played each other in each program's history.
So this decides the 1990 national championship.
Took long enough.
Fair enough.
unless next year they, you know, they split, and because they got the return game in Bobby Dodd next year.
Okay, points for the Sounder. We will have a Greg Palm game of the week every week. I don't know why you picked this one given all the other ones, but I respect
historical
your quirks. Yes. Let's go through this. I'm dying to get the list. What do we got?
Okay, Jim. Number 12, we got LSU. Garrett Nussmeier returns at quarterback. A lot of promise for this LSU team to make the college football playoff. Did you know they have lost 5 straight season openers? And you know, when I try to break a season opener losing streak, I go and play at Clemson in week 1.
Yeah, go ahead and make that 6.
All right, number 11 is Michigan. Time to see if we carry that end-of-season momentum into 2025. Did they find something? And it is finally official. Bryce Underwood is behind center.
Yeah, but he's at the end of the day, he's still a true freshman quarterback. I think this is ambitious, putting Michigan at 11. I would be shocked if they make the college football playoff this season. I think there's going to be at least a couple losses that you can attribute directly to freshman mistakes. And I think you're okay with it if you're a Michigan fan. Get it out of your system. Develop the guy, and then maybe next year you're like a Florida, South Carolina, straight to the moon with your great young quarterback.
I mean, when you look at the losses, though, what are your for sure losses?
I think they're losing to Norman in week 2.
I would agree.
I think they're losing to Nebraska early in the season on the road.
Okay.
And Ohio State can't lose every year, right?
I mean, that's a fair point. You go 9-3, you're probably not making it, but 10-2 gets you in.
Number 10 is Miami of Florida. Cam Ward is out. Number 1 draft pick to the Titans. Carson Beck is in from Georgia. They host Notre Dame on Sunday. Number 9 is Boise State. Look, they lost Ashton Gentry to the NFL. Basically, if this is typical Boise, got a 2-game season at Notre Dame in week 6 and UNLV hosting, Boise State hosting UNLV, who just had a tough game against Idaho State.
I would make a note that Boise State is on upset alert this week, Thursday night. South Florida, heat, humidity, 90, sticky. And while South Florida got their ass kicked a bunch last year, they return an offense that scored more than 30 points per game. The nuts and bolts are there. Upset alert for Boise.
Number 8, the Georgia Bulldogs. Interested to see them under Gunnar Stockton. Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, they're all on the schedule this week. They start with Marshall at home.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I can't see Georgia even making the playoffs. The O-line last year was the worst in Kirby Smart's era. I'm not sure how much that's going to be better. They lost a ton of talent to the NFL, one of the youngest rosters in the SEC. You mentioned Gunnar Stockton. I think this is a year that Kenny Cott's going to be pissed. Georgia's going to be way down.
Number 7, Alabama. They're returning 8 starters on the defensive side of the ball, and Ryan Williams, without Jeremiah Smith, would have been the best freshman wide receiver in the country last year. So, big game for them. They are at Florida State, a true road game in Tallahassee to start the season. Number 6, we've got the Oregon Ducks. They're only returning 5 starters from last year's Big Ten championship team. Remember, in the portal, last year, they got Dante Moore. He's going to be starting now at quarterback. And Mekhi Hughes from Tulane will be starting in the backfield alongside Moore. Number 5, Clemson. Maybe not so dead anymore. Do they have the championship formula? Jim, you've addressed this quite a bit. An elite quarterback, skilled outside weapons, and a destructive defensive line. They've got that huge Saturday night matchup hosting LSU.
The Battle of Death Valley.
Number 4, Ohio State. I had to remind a friend as little as 2 weeks ago that, yes, Matt Patricia is their defensive coordinator.
He looks good, by the way.
They are hosting Texas.
Hold on. He lost some weight. There's a difference between him looking good and he lost some weight.
I'm just saying he looks good compared to how he used to look.
He'll always be a bozo.
But don't you feel that the Buckeyes are going to be a tad overrated? They got a redshirt freshman insane as their quarterback. They lost 11 dudes to the NFL. And they lost dudes, Jim and Greg. Yep. They lost Henderson and Abukwa. And their schedule, work with me. Texas, probably loss. Mm-hmm. At Illinois, potential loss. At Nebraska, tricky. At Michigan,
no gimme.
And then at Washington, too, which I understand nobody believes in Washington. Kind of a tough trip. I think when it's all said and done, the Buckeyes are going to be a tad disappointing.
I like you fading Georgia and Ohio State.
One thing I do want to mention about Patricia is, part of the reason why he failed with the Lions is because he was kind of a douchey tyrant. Is there more leeway to act that way in college?
Oh, because the kids have to listen to him.
Yes. Urban Meyer was the way he was in college, was one of the best college coaches of all time, and failed in the pros because of that. interesting to take a look at.
I want
to
clarify, Patricia didn't just fail with the Lions. He also went to the Eagles and ruined their defense the year before they won the Super Bowl.
And I'm sure he's... You know what? I'm very upset with myself because that should have been the number one reason why you fade Ohio State. Yes. Because of Matt Patricia, despite looking good.
All right,
the
number three
is still really scraggly, though.
Yeah.
Number three is Texas. They are the highest ranked team that still has an over-under at 9.5. It's still on the upper end of that, but still at 9.5. Number two, Penn State. Now, depending on your sports book, they have the best odds of any team to finish over 10.5 wins. What I found was minus 105 are the odds for that. They will start with Nevada.
Okay, so I'm a dope. I know everybody says Penn State, James Franklin, 4-20 against top 10 teams. This is the year, Jim.
Oh, God.
This is the year, Greg. Drew Aller, a third-year starter. They're going to the postseason. Their toughest game is at Ohio State. Not quite sure how good the Buckeyes are going to be. They get Nevada this week. They're a 44.5-point favorite. This is the year for the Nittany Lions in Crappy Valley. I truly believe this.
Is it because you and James Franklin have the same haircut?
We do. We both look good.
I'll believe it when I see it. I know they have all the advantages. Soft schedule. They host Oregon in what's going to be a whiteout at night. I just don't believe it till I see it.
But they're going to make the playoff.
Oh, they'll be in the playoff.
Okay.
And James Franklin, by the way, in some ways is the best college football coach for bettors. You know he'll win the games he should,
yes.
And you know he'll lose the games he should.
He was kind of like Harbaugh before cheating.
Got to find his stallions.
Guys, if you're filling in the blanks, you know who's coming in at number one. Everyone's favorite independent Notre Dame. There is significant separation, actually, between them and number two, Penn State. The difference between them and Penn State is actually greater than the difference between 2 and 6.
Based on what? Why are they number one?
Their over-under is at 10.5. They have the most expected wins of anybody outside of Penn State, and their schedule is quite difficult. Greg Palm will reward you for a difficult schedule. Got to see it play out, but that is what we are rewarding Notre Dame for.
Early now, in the schedule, they play, at Miami? They're going to get A&M early.
Yeah, that's a huge test. That's kind of how they opened last year was big primetime road game. Do want to mention, O-line is one more year experience across the board. They're replacing Riley Leonard with C.J. Carr, and we mentioned that game at Miami to start the season.
The thing I'd say about Notre Dame, C.J. Carr will be a different quarterback than Leonard. The offense will have to be different. Can they get some verticality to the passing game? Can they have a balanced offense? They're going to run the football. I have no doubt about it. They're going to be in the college football playoff. I have no doubt about that.
I have no doubt about that.
But I don't know if they're winning it with a freshman quarterback, albeit a redshirt freshman.
I just like that Greg Hargrave, he rewards you for having a tough schedule. I enjoy that about Greg Palm.
You get credit when you beat good teams.
Yes. I dig that.
That's how it should be.
Tell that to the SEC.
2026 are going to get with it.
Eventually.
That's Greg Palm. Yeah, one of these days. It's 97.1. The only three runs they'd get, 8-3 loss to the A's last night in Sacktown.
Yeah.
Jeff Rieger in for John Jansen today. Yeah, it is a minor league ballpark. Hey, Lions are going to make their cuts by 4 p.m. today. Already some names have come out. Dan Skipper, Hendon Hooker among those names.
Broderick Martin.
Yes. So Holmes has cut two of his top 100 picks now, Broderick Martin and Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker, 68th overall. Pour one out for Jamar in Westland. There will be no more Hendon Hooker texts, which, hey, we can move on. It was time to move on. Dan Campbell had forecasted that. And by the way, they telegraphed it at the end of last year when they added Teddy Bridgewater. It told you everything they needed to know about Hendon Hooker's development. Didn't get any better. He gets cut. Rieger, what I want to know is, is this Brad Holmes' biggest mistake, and do you hold it against him?
Okay, so when you say, do you hold it against him, does that mean you're angry? Does that mean, I don't know, he's not perfect? Because, yes, that's a third-round pick, and it was 68 overall. At the time, they did need a quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. I think people are leaving it out. There's a lot of revisionist history here.
Yeah, I remember being on the air. It was on a Friday in the second day of the NFL draft, and I was happy they took a quarterback. And, of course, I'm like, okay, well, Brad took his guy. Now, it didn't work out, and it failed miserably. And I understand why you would look back and say, what a god-awful pick. But at the time, nobody was quite sure about Goff. They had yet to extend him, and people were wondering, who the hell's your backup? So it wasn't a bad idea to get a project. It just didn't work. So I don't hold it against them, considering he's got so many other third-round picks right.
That same draft, he took Gibbs, Campbell, Laporta, and Branch.
Right. Which is an unbelievable draft.
Right. And at 68, he took a gamble. That's what this is. He gambled on the most important position in football when he had not made a decision on Goff. And they could say we always believed in him, but the reality is they hadn't extended him. He hadn't appeared in a playoff game. They hadn't won a playoff game. And it made sense to hedge your bet a little bit. Mobility, quick release. Now, in hindsight, that offense in Tennessee does not prepare guys for the NFL. And it blows up in his face. But I'm willing to take a risk every so often, especially when my quarterback hasn't been extended. Like, best case scenario, it was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Right? Jalen Hurts was a day two pick when they already had Carson Wentz. And when the Carson Wentz thing blew up, they had Jalen Hurts ready to go. That's why you make that draft pick.
I mean, listen, he hasn't been great on third round picks unless you go back to, Willie McNeil.
And Kirby Joseph,
right? And Kirby Joseph.
Yeah.
So he's been a great GM, and I understand that people are going to want to nitpick Martin and Hooker, who get released on the same day from the same draft.
Yeah.
Both third round picks. With all that being said, I don't hold it against them. Not at all. Do you?
No. Is this his biggest mistake? I would say yes.
Probably. Yes.
What else would be on the short list of?
I mean, you would go maybe
Levi Onwuzurike,
because he can't stay healthy, and that was a second round pick. Other than that, Broderick Martin, a third round pick. And
has he signed a bad contract since he's been here? Like, I don't think
so. Broderick Martin, you could tell from the get-go. I would make the case you could tell Broderick Martin was going to fail before you knew Hendon Hooker was going to fail.
And they traded up to get him.
Correct.
And
yeah, but you're talking about three picks. Who else? Who else did you hate? James Houston? He was a sixth round pick.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think there's really a lot of...
Josh Pascal?
He was a second round pick.
They believed in him, and another dude that just continues to get injured.
Mm.
I mean, are you ready to say that Rakestraw is a bad pick?
No, it's too early, although his career's off to a very lousy start.
Yeah, I mean, Terrion Arnold wasn't great last year. Was that a bad first-round pick?
No, I think some of that's baked into being a rookie corner.
Right.
I mean, is it a move he hasn't made? Is the biggest mistake a move he hasn't made?
I would argue that Marcus Davenport's his biggest mistake.
Now, the reliance
on him.
We can
let that play out this season, and that can change. But I think right now, like, if you're looking at this Super Bowl window, this could be the biggest mistake if he gets injured again. So we'll see about that. I hold Hooker against him because I didn't like the player. I just thought it was garbage. Like, I don't know the evaluation process, how they thought, well, maybe he could be Goff's replacement when you didn't know if you're going to extend Goff yet. He was a one-read quarterback out of college. It was a gimmicky offense, and I think he fell in love with a guy because he had a couple flash games. Like Broderick Martin, after the draft he had that year, I didn't mind the project pick, you know, because you're kind of either home running it or it's going to just blow up. But
right.
At that point, you made four great picks, and that makes the Hooker pick not as bad as well. But the importance of the position, like they could have done several different things here over the last 3 years with their backup situation, and instead they bought into that. And I just didn't get the evaluation process from the get-go.
But I don't know how much it hurt them in the sense that when push came to shove, they brought Teddy Bridgewater back for the playoffs, and Teddy Bridgewater actually appeared in that playoff game. And even this season, Kyle Allen's the definition of a backup quarterback in the NFL. It's not like they go into this year without a backup quarterback. Kyle Allen started games. He's thrown more touchdowns than picks. He can do the part in the preseason, and in a quarter, a series, a half, he can play.
But I just think
it hasn't hurt them.
I think it shows you how good Holmes is, considering we're left in year five of Brad Holmes talking about, well, who's the backup? And is he good enough? I mean, that's all we're talking about right now. As far as misses, what he didn't do, the only one I can think of, and I don't know too many people that would have made this move, would you rather have Jalen Carter instead of Jahmyr Gibbs?
It's Gibbs and LaPorta, though. It's Gibbs and LaPorta.
That's true.
Which I think makes it a tough call. Like, I'd rather have Carter, I think, than a running back who's splitting carries as dynamic as Jahmyr is. But you throw in LaPorta, and it's close enough where it's not something I'm going to bicker about.
Exactly. The problem is, though, if I was listening to Lions Review yesterday, and a dapper Dan Miller's like, I want to see that defensive line, and I want to see if they can kill some quarterbacks. He's like, I don't care about pressures. I want sacks. And then, of course, Wojo chimes in. And maybe some fumbles, too. The point is, if that defensive line in this year with a healthy defense doesn't work out, then that's what you bitch about Brad Holmes about. Like this, he took a chance. I'm not going to kill him for it.
Yeah, I don't think it's as big as... I mean, I think that's still a down-the-road conversation with Jalen Carter. I know we toyed with that a little bit after the Super Bowl because of the Super Bowl that Jalen Carter had. You know, ESPN came out with their top 100 yesterday, and Laporta was in the 80s, 83, I think. Gibbs was in the 20s, and then Jalen Carter, I think, was 17, right behind Hutch.
Yeah.
So if you had Jalen Carter, you had three top 20 players, according to them.
But they would never do Jalen Carter because they believe in the culture thing. And if we go back to Jalen Carter with the workouts and trouble with the law, I mean, yes, you should say you should do it, but we know how they roll and they're not going to.
I don't think he was a serious consideration for them in that draft. Just from everything we had read, I mean, Campbell's comments about we don't want turds. I think Carter is even quoted as saying he could have worked harder, which to me was like, well, okay, you're not even on Dan
Remember
Campbell's
his board. Workout that everybody totally, I think you did. I think I did. We all trashed him for it.
Yeah, and I fought Rico about it. Now he's cashing receipts because Carter's a great player. But
Rico's doing that? No.
Not Rico.
Not Rico.
He liked all those Georgia defensive linemen. They got Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, and they won a Super Bowl. Yeah, I can show you my text with him. But in terms of the biggest mistake he's made, you're right. Like, we're looking at a third round pick or a move they haven't made.
Yeah.
And I do think when you're picking guys in the top 100, when you're picking a guy at 68, you want more than they got out of Hendon Hooker. So if you're mad about the pick, you can be mad about the pick. I understood it. I understood at the time why they made the move.
The problem is, if anybody wants to say, like, hey, what's his biggest failure? And you could have the conversation, but it's so nitpicking because in 2 to 3 years, they have to make a decision on Hutch and Branch and Laporta, and who am I missing?
J-Mo
and Jack Campbell. Did I get everybody? You got six dudes that you want to extend. You're not going to be able to extend all of them. Think about how great of drafting that is.
And in that
because
way,
you want to bring them all back.
His real rubber meets the road moment is, who do you let go from that group?
So I did this topic the other day.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a couple people that know a hell of a lot more than me. Of those six guys, you're re-signing extending Hutch, correct?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
So
let's
say my belief is you can sign two of the remaining five of Branch and Laporta and J-Mo and Campbell and who am I missing?
Gibbs.
So
see, with Gibbs,
I'm
tempted to just go, hey, I'm going to go your 5 years and then a franchise tag if necessary.
And then say goodbye. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Campbell is the green dot linebacker, and he's going to have a great year, I think, and which will make his price go up. You got to bring him back.
Yeah, I would think, especially if you're letting Anzalone walk after this season, that's kind of the writing on the wall.
So who's the second?
I love Branch. I hate that they already paid Kirby Joseph because it seems silly to pay two safeties record-breaking deals. But Branch is more than a safety. He's a guy who can play cover corner. He's a player who's elite against the run, coming up and making plays in the backfield. He's a blitzer. They like to blitz in this defense. I just love Brian Branch, the football player. But I know that means I'm losing J-Mo and Laporta in your scenario.
Yeah.
But maybe that's where Tesla comes in.
Well, I think Tesla eventually, I said this on the air the other day, people got very upset. I said, maybe he eventually in 2 years is the replacement for J-Mo because you can't afford him. People don't want to see J-Mo go. People don't want to see any of these dudes go.
Well, it's why you need to win.
And that's why they're saving on to the or holding on to the money.
Well, that's why you need to win the next 2 years while you have them.
Oh, that'd be nice. That's a good idea.
And
they should do that.
Yeah, that's a great play. Hey, Brad, just go win a Super Bowl this year or next, and then if guys have to leave, I mean, we understand the business of football. It would be heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, because the fan base does get attached to these guys. If they lose two and three and four of them.
Well, it's going to be like the World Series with the Tigers all over again, where they had five Cy Young winners and they couldn't win a World Series.
Don't
You're never going to forget about
don't
it.
Say that. Worst move that Brad Holmes made, do you hold the Hendon Hooker pick against him? He's officially cut. It's 97-1.